What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita and Brooke Strzok Show.
Hey, everyone. Good to see you again. It's been a few weeks on my end.
Brooke is back for our weekly Deal or No Deal Island recaps. We had some great guests fill in for you the last couple weeks. Miranda filled in for you, and then we also had Kim on last week. But we missed you, Brooke, so we're glad to have you back.
Yes. No, I'm glad I had such spectacular people to fill in for me. It was wonderful to watch them and to hear their commentary on stuff. So it's been good. And I'm loving this show. It's been really great.
How was your vacation?
Good. Went to Puerto Rico. Amazing. It's just beautiful there. Lots of like the rainforest, beaches, snorkeling. So it's rough coming back to work after that.
Well, Brooke is back. Today, we're going to recap the seventh episode of Deal or No Deal Island. We've got three Deal or No Deal Island episodes out this week. So there's a lot. I've already dropped my exit interview with Alyssa Klinzing. It was great talking with her, getting her thoughts on the show. And as I mentioned, I'd love to have her on in a long form format because we only got to talk about a few different questions. Our time was limited because that's the exit interviews. But in the 20 minutes or so, it was very enlightening, very interesting conversation. So you guys are going to want to go and check that out. This is our recaps. This is how I think we're going to do this for the rest of the season is we're going to have Brooke and I are going to do the recap breakdown, kind of the post game show where we're breaking it down, giving our thoughts. And then this week, and hopefully we'll have this for the remainder of the season, but at the very least, we're trying it out this week. Deal or No Deal Island Insiders, where Miranda will join me once again. And we're actually going to get Stephanie's take on this episode in a long form format. And I think Stephanie's going to have a lot to say.
So, definitely. I can't wait to hear that one.
So, guys, if you want to make sure you don't miss any of that and tune in, make sure you hit subscribe here to the Jack Vita Show here on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you are listening to your podcasts. Brooke, what'd you think of the episode?
Drama. It's been getting good. And this one, like now we're at the peak of it. And right, it's funny, the episode, it's kind of funny that it started off with fireworks and hey, we're halfway through. And it ended with fireworks, different kind of fireworks. Like it was, you know, crazy that we're at the halfway point. You know, you look out when you're doing, you know, when they're doing going before the banker and it's like, there's so few people left, you know, they've really like, they've made it a ways. They're getting closer to the big prize, but I loved it. I loved every second of this episode.
It was great. I love that you mentioned the fireworks. Halfway point. So I imagine we're probably over the halfway point now. I think we're 7 weeks in. So I'm guessing we probably have 12 episodes total.
Yeah. I was trying to do the math and I wondered how many more we have left. So, yeah.
I don't think there's a reunion show. So I think we get 12 episodes. So we got five more left. And there are, what, seven people left? We got the four Night Owls, Jordan, yep. And then Rob and Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Gosh, hard to believe. So.
So we bid farewell to Alyssa. This war had been waging. I mean, it had been building up for the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. Miranda tried to take a shot at her. She would have been gone 2 weeks ago if Miranda had won her game of Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
Last week, Amy did win her game of Deal or No Deal, but we had a twist, no elimination. Alyssa runs out of lives and she's gone.
It's true. I know. She kept like just skating by and getting lucky, but then it finally hit her. And I mean, it's hard when you're at the center of the drama and things going on. I mean, and she said it too. She kind of called herself out as being the one that's going to stir things up. And it was interesting too, how she, she's looking out for herself. This is the game. I mean, that's what everybody should be doing, but she definitely didn't make friends in the way she did it.
Yeah, I think that first and foremost, I'm really interested to hear what Stephanie is going to have to say because I imagine, first of all, this is such a tightly edited show. We're only seeing 40 minutes of days worth of events. So mm-hmm. I'd love to know what you know, I think there's probably a lot that we don't know of what happened on this island, because there was some real emotion here. And there were more than just one person who felt that emotion towards her. So I'd love to know what kind of brought that on and where that, you know, where that came from. And I'm sure Stephanie will have a lot to say about that. But I think for Alyssa, whatever that was, she rubbed some people the wrong way. It seemed more than one person, at least a few people, an alliance the wrong way. And then she's also in a group here with Boston Rob and Aaron, where mm-hmm. they're kind of the power clique. And even though they don't fully have the numbers, it's just the three of them. We don't fully know where Jordan stands. She could be in with that group as well. They did have the numbers at one point when they had Jamil and Claudia.
Yeah.
Didn't really know where Miranda stood. Nick was with them. But based on how things are shaking out, she's not only rubbing people the wrong way, she's on the wrong side of the numbers, and she's teamed up with that's probably the two biggest targets, and she's the other target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know Rob said towards the start of the episode, I'm public enemy number one, as he should be. He's been so good at this game, and he really, like, the psychology of knowing people and how to play them in reality shows, he's just an expert at it. He's so great at it. And he also made that comment too, like, hey, after the season's over, I'm teaching the master class. There are a lot of people that would sign up for that. he's good. But yeah, it was interesting too. I mean, Alyssa took that risk where she lied to Rob about Aaron and tried to throw Aaron under the bus to Rob, and Rob wasn't buying it, you know? And I don't know how, like, he just knows. He has the sixth sense of, like, yeah, nope, Aaron's not. Aaron wouldn't have said that. And he's right. I don't know how he was so confident in that. And as far as, like, yeah, how much this exploded at the end with the arguments and that you see the tensity and then Aaron, you know, getting so upset. The thing you have to realize, too, is when you compete in these shows, you're under, like, the maximum amount of, like, psychological stress, and all your support systems have been removed from you. You don't have family, you don't have friends, you don't, you know, you can't just go off for, like, a run or go to, you know, you're in the game at all times. You have to watch your back. You can't trust anyone, anything anyone's saying. You have cameras around, so you know you're being filmed. So that's the thing, like, especially in Survivor, where you're also starved and sleep deprived, you see people have these epic breakdowns that they wouldn't otherwise have out in the real world. So that's also why you're kind of like, everybody's on edge, and it doesn't take a lot to tip them over the edge.
Yeah, we got emotions running high here. As you mentioned, the fireworks. Aaron, that we get a big cliffhanger here where Aaron walks off and they make it look like, oh, he said something along the lines of, I don't know if I can do this show anymore. But then we get the promo for next week, and it's like, oh, he's buddies with Rob, and they're still playing together. So it looks like he's okay, thankfully.
Yeah, yeah. I think for Aaron, it's good to have Alyssa gone. You know, he doesn't realize it, but she was gunning for him too. And Rob was not under Alyssa's spell, but Aaron seemed to be under Alyssa's spell. And I mean, no one can fault her for that. Like, she's playing the game, and that's what you want to do. You want to get these people lined up to kind of be your minions and things. And so she really got a hold of Aaron. And that's a hard thing, too. I think one of the things that Rob said that was really brilliant early on, too, is that you don't want to play with you don't want your emotions to overrule your strategic game. And that's what you see happen, is people get so hell-bent on knocking someone else out that they forget to focus on their game. And it's like, as much as you hate that person, if that's not the best move for you staying in the game, then don't do it. Just put up with them, ignore them, whatever you need to do to get on to the next thing. And you see people that are, because Rob's done this before, he can kind of like shut the emotional part off, but all these other people are new to it. They just get so into the emotions of it. And you see Aaron, you know, instead of going, okay, well, good, I made it another round, instead he's kind of heartbroken and upset that Alyssa got out, you know? And so he's letting it negatively affect his game.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, we're like entering, what, year 32 or so of reality television, like the real world starting in the early 90s, and
I never counted, but that sounds right.
we've seen so many nasty fights, even just on Survivor and meltdowns and stuff like that. Like this feels very tame compared to stuff I've seen on The Real World and The Challenge and even on Survivor. But like you said, I mean, hey, when you're in an environment like this, it can be very stressful. And but to your point, actually, let's talk about the fireworks here. I gotta say, I enjoy watching fights on reality TV. I love watching fights in sports. I've long said that I think that they should have a rule on reality TV that you should be allowed to fight like you can in hockey and then get 15 minutes in the penalty box. I've talked about that before, but okay, let's see. So I wrote this down. So here's where it really is kind of starting. Is Alyssa during the game is smirking quite a bit. She's not being very respectful. She says to Aaron, just don't help her, don't do it. And then she gets asked a question like, what would you do? And she says, truly, I'm not paying attention right now. And then they're going back and forth with each other then and there. It gets better, though. Because she starts saying, Stephanie says, this is not the Alyssa show, deal or whatever. I cannot be in the same oxygen space anymore. I am through. But my favorite part is she accepts the deal and it's a penny in the case. Steph says, goodbye. Karma is best served ice cold.
I know.
Oh. Stephanie, that means you made a good deal. I did. You've proven yourself to the banker. How do you feel now? I feel wonderful.
I know. She was so in your face, Alyssa, and stuff. So it was
the best part. Now you have the power to send someone home. Do I even have to ask? You do not.
And I love that Joe just eats this stuff up. Like he loves it. You know, it's just so funny to watch him host this. And I think he's been fabulous. Like I've enjoyed watching the way he, you know, he just has this like confidence, like smooth. And he notices everything and has these really witty comments. He's been a great host in that. That's been a fun surprise.
I'm just picturing like, does Stephanie ever get like that when she's like ordering her Starbucks and it's like you know, it's taking too long in the line and they're like, here's your Starbucks, thank you.
Yeah, no, I know, she got fired up for sure.
I'm just picturing her in other situations where I just like the way that these sentences, like I wrote it down in my notes as I period did in all caps, period.
Yep, that's how it was said. So, well, and it's funny too, because I was watching, and even after, you know, Alyssa's gone and Stephanie's like, everybody's still kind of like raging about it a little bit, especially Stephanie, and Rob's like, okay, she's gone, let's move on. And it is one of those things when you see, you know, Alyssa was being immature while Stephanie was playing and making the comments and things like that. But you also have to be careful. Like, you don't want to lower yourself to that person's level and go tit for tat because you're not going to change the other person's opinion. But granted, that's advice for how to handle it in real life. The way Stephanie handled it was great for TV and I enjoyed it. Handling it the mature way doesn't make for great reality TV. And I'm like that when I watch those reality shows. I watched The Bachelor, Bachelorette for years, whatever. And it's funny because I watch it and I root for the people who are the drama. You know, I'm like, I want this person to stay. Like, they'd be the horrible match for The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, but they're great TV. And so that's what I want to have on there.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned Rob. So it's interesting because Alyssa leaves and then Steph does like a whole thing where she's like, here comes the Alyssa show. And just like, oh my gosh, she's just going off. And then Amy starts to chime in. Dawson is not really shown in any of this, but Nick kind of makes some smirks and he's enjoying it. It seems like, you know, a lot of people are probably piling on. This probably went on much longer than we saw on TV.
Yeah.
Rob says, like, let's not do this while she's not here to defend herself. It's like, okay, Rob, with all your confessionals of calling Dawson Dalton and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I think Rob's just trying to defuse the situation because he saw it was getting ugly and he wanted to calm everybody down, which was the right thing to do.
Yeah, and he's probably looking. I mean, Aaron's in his alliance, you know, and I'm sure he probably started picking up on that Aaron was like incredibly uncomfortable with the way things were going, and you know, and it is hard to like watch people go at it like that. It is uncomfortable, and some people enjoy it, but some people make it. You know, it's really hard for them to see that conflict and stuff.
So yeah, that was the big confrontation. And we got a cliffhanger going in next week.
Yeah.
And it looks like Aaron's going to be okay. I think he's going to be okay. Do you have any concerns here?
Yeah, I think he's been a very solid player. You know, he's made, more often than not, he seems to make the logical choices on things, not the emotional. So I think, you know, he had his moment and I'm confident he'll be able to move past it, I think, and still keep playing. Plus, I think Rob knows that he needs Aaron's help to get further in this game. And so I know Rob, I think, will continue to kind of help him stay in the game as long as he can. Because Rob knows now that Alyssa's gone, I think Rob really is public enemy number one, that they'll gun for him now.
I think Rob already was. And I actually think when we talked about this last week with Miranda and Kim, I got the sense that Miranda was really the only one who was going to take the shot at, because in that episode, she for certain was going to shoot at Alyssa. Mm-hmm. She was not going to go after Rob. And I think that's part of where, how she was playing the game. And she'll have more to say about this in a couple days when we have her back on here. But I think that like she was on pretty good, she felt like she didn't think she needed Rob out for her game. Alyssa was someone that she definitely wanted out. However, I think pretty much everybody else is viewing Rob as like the target. And I think you even see some of that in this episode. I think someone maybe made a comment of like, if you get Rob out, where does that leave Aaron and Alyssa? Like that really, because Rob's beasting all these competitions. He's won almost just every single
lucked out with immunity again. It was pretty amazing for him. But yeah, I agree. I think we would have had a different, you know, outcome if Rob hadn't had immunity.
Rob's been winning all these immunities. And so not just for the fact that he's Boston Rob, he's the Rob father, he's got all the power, he's persuasive, he's a great game player. But someone who's winning this many immunities in general on Survivor gets targeted. Mm-hmm. And then in this show, when the immunity is like, I think the immunity is even more valuable on this show than it is on Survivor, because you could easily get sniped at by anybody. Whereas on Survivor, it's like, okay, well, I got my numbers, you know, 5 over 4, we're fine. But so I think Rob, like the next time that he does not win immunity, he's in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the strategy and the way people are playing the game is changing.
Yeah. No, this game it's so interesting because, in Survivor, if you want someone out, you have to get the numbers. So it's not, but here it is one person that gets to decide, you know, everyone else can decide we want to keep someone in. And if that one person wins against the banker and you don't have immunity, that's the end of your game. So it's very much a wild card each episode.
Yeah. In this episode, I think you're seeing the strategy shift. Because in the first couple episodes, keep in mind, this is a new game. Nobody's played it before. We don't know what the strategy is going in. And at first, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to face the banker. I could be going home. And in the way the show frames it, it seems like a really bad thing.
Yeah.
But we've only had like 2 people lose to the banker through 7 episodes so far. And I don't even really think Miranda lost as much as she just had an opportunity to take 40 grand and she took it.
Yeah.
So like really the only person out of this whole group that's lost was Claudia.
Yeah.
So that's an 80% winning percentage on this. So I think we see the strategy shift in this episode where Amy and Stephanie are paired up as a team, and they just decide to go for the $5 million briefcase, accepting the reward, the risk of it. That they even said, Stephanie gives a quote, and who knows, because sometimes they use these quotes out of order on these shows.
Yeah.
But she says, I want to play the banker and I want to send Rob or Alyssa home, is what the quote was. So I got the sense that I wouldn't say they were throwing the challenge, but they were like, we either want to win so we can decide who faces the banker, or we want us both to be the options that are going to face the banker.
Yeah. No, I had the same thing. The way the show was set up, it was like, you know, the first episode, but you know, first and second episode, I was like, oh, you don't want to go before the banker because you risk going out. But for me, I think the hierarchy of things is you want immunity first because then you're safe. And then I think second place is being going before the banker because then you have, I mean, 50-50 shot of being immune. And if everybody else sitting there watching, if that person loses, you are on the chopping block. So I actually think almost going before the banker to me seems like the next safest option to immunity.
Yeah. And I would say that at worst, you have a 50% chance because so many people are winning and beating the banker. So at the very least, you could always, 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 even if you get a deal that you don't like, you could just wait and wait and wait and then get to the point where you basically choose between your briefcase and the last briefcase remaining. And if that's a 50-50 shot there, you could accept the deal that's greater than 50% and higher probability. And so I think it's really interesting because I think you're seeing that now that the people are like, well, I want the ball in my hands in the fourth quarter. I want to take the last shot. I don't want someone else doing that.
Yeah, no, when you see it at some point when they're going up against the banker, yes, there's offers that are made where it's not 50-50, where it's one where, hey, the odds are in your favor if you accept the deal. And then, you know, so it's a better chance. And I'm curious if in these next episodes, if it does shift, if people start to realize the strategy from this episode is, oh, actually, I want to go before the banker. And then also you get to target people that you don't, you know, that you think are the competition.
Right.
So it's not only that you get to stay in, it's kind of the double benefit of then you also get to take out somebody that, you know, that you don't like.
So is this Alyssa elimination a good or bad thing for Rob?
I think it's a bad thing for Rob in the sense that Alyssa drew a lot of she made enemies. And so I think it gave Rob better odds of someone making an emotional decision to get Alyssa out.
I could see it being a good thing for him because they showed us a couple episodes ago. Now Aaron was going to go with Alyssa over Rob.
Yeah.
And now Aaron's got no options. He's got to be with Rob. Now, I don't know how much that matters though, because how often is Aaron going to have control?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would just be if, I mean, really, if Aaron went against the banker and got to pick someone to go out, he's not going to pick Alyssa or Rob. It would just come down to if they're the final three, and then, you know, Aaron were there, then it's, you know, if it's Rob versus Alyssa, who's Aaron going to pick? But if it was Rob versus anybody else, then, you know, he's probably going to not pick Rob to go out, but pick Rob to stay. So, and vote out the other person.
Yeah. And I think that this is going to be really interesting because now it's just the two of them. And we don't know where Jordan stands. She got a confessional this time around. So good to see her get a little screen time, but I mean, it seems like you've got the core four, the Night Owls.
Yeah.
And then there's Jordan is somewhere, and then you've got those two. And if Rob keeps winning immunity, Aaron's going to be the next target because who else is?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he's the odd man out in their group. And I feel like someone else noted that when they were kind of running through whose targets, and it was like, someone said, I think that Jordan's one of the more dangerous ones because she is under the radar. There's no one to like or hate her. She's not part of Alliance. So it's not, you know, because you have, when you have people kind of in these groups, it's one group versus the other. And if you're not in the group, then you're kind of a free agent and no one's going after you.
Yeah. That was Rob. I'm so excited to have Stephanie on because Stephanie was the star of the episode. She had so many moments in this because early on she talks with Rob and she's like saying she really wants Alyssa gone. And this is a continuation of last week. Mm-hmm. And then Rob saying like, you got to take out the non-obvious targets because Dawson and Jordan are going to be the ones that float to the end because nobody's talking with them. And he's right. I mean, yeah. He's right for his own game. Mm-hmm. But if you're not Boston Rob, you want Rob out because Rob's really good at these things. And I also want to mention something because last week we got some comments, Miranda and Kim, they're like, these people hate Rob. None of these people hate Rob. Okay. This is the game. They want Rob out. Rob's great at winning these things. And Rob is someone that can be difficult to play with because he wants to be in control. He wants to control everybody. To my knowledge, there's no beef. There's no animosity. And they really like Rob outside of the game.
Yeah. So
we're not hating on Rob. This is all just, you know, us talking about the game.
Yes. Well, and I think there's the thing where, I mean, this happened on my season too. When you have people who are returning from other reality shows, it does stink. You're like, no, you've already gotten your chance. You've already gotten your screen time. You already had your chance to win money, or you've already won money. This is our game. And so I do get that feeling of like, I get where they're coming from. Rob's already done a ton of reality shows and he's had his chance and he's won money. And, you know, and for that reason too, as great as I think Rob is, I would like to see someone win that's not Rob. You know, he's had his time winning reality shows and things. So
I want him to stay on the show though. Because it's very interesting with Rob every single week. So I feel like the last few weeks we've had good outcomes because his game has been threatened, but he's still around. But I'm just excited to see what happens next week. I don't know.
Yes. The cliffhanger with Aaron. I want to see how that plays out and everybody's conversations afterwards about the big blow up. So
how did you enjoy this excursion paddleboarding?
Oh, the paddle. Oh my gosh, I was dying. Was it Rob and Nick that were on the paddle? It's great. Because sometimes you have these like challenges where it doesn't pay to be the big, buff, strong guys, you know? And this was one of them. And they were cracking me up. It was fun to watch that, you know? And Alyssa's like, I paddleboard all the time. I've got this.
Well, Alyssa would have had it if they hung on to the case. They had 3.25 million. And they ended up swapping it, which we moved down to 2.5. So Alyssa and Jordan were super close to winning this challenge. They shot themselves in the foot.
No, I couldn't believe when they turned it in. I was like, you know, I would have kept it, but.
Brooke, have you done any paddle boarding yourself?
I have. So I'm not. I have a younger sister. She's 2 years younger and she does whitewater paddle boarding. That is nuts. Oh,
yeah.
Crazy intense to like go where whitewater rafts go, but on a paddle board. That's insane. I like a nice like flat lake, flat river, but yeah, I do enjoy paddle boarding. And I did a little bit in Puerto Rico.
You do it. That sounds like whitewater paddle boarding. Sounds like is that an Oregon thing?
They do it other places, but yeah, it's
Colorado.
Oregon, White Salmon River, like Oregon, Washington. Yeah, there's people that do it, and it's crazy to watch. So,
so from my own paddleboarding experience out on Lake Michigan, my mom has two paddleboards, and we'll take it out and we'll do it together, and then we've got friends who've got paddle boards. So sometimes we'll go out in a group and just on Lake Michigan and we love to paddle board in the summertime. I will say from experience, it is very difficult to, first of all, just to get two guys on a paddle board, just to sit on the paddle board.
Yeah.
From my own experience. Now there are different kinds of paddle boards. Some are like much longer. These looked a little bigger than probably the ones that I'm using.
Yeah.
But like when Rob and Nick decide to stand up, that was totally Rob cheesing for the cameras, because they knew for certain there's no way that was going to work.
Yeah. I think they'd kind of gone, this isn't our thing, and we're just going to goof off stuff. So, and it is hard on the ocean. I've done, you know, doing it on the ocean is a little bit trickier too than some other places, but with the waves and the wind and things.
We get a little wavy, like Michigan.
Guys can get some wind going.
Yeah, Windy City.
Uh-huh.
So we've got, like, I've done that before where me and a buddy will, like, sit on the paddleboard and we'll just kind of row it out they were doing in this challenge. And, I mean, I'm a very average-sized guy. I'm, like, 5'11", 175. And, like, for two of us, it can be a challenge for us to stay on. Like, mm-hmm. we have to kind of get in sync. And once we figure it out, we figure it out.
Yeah.
So imagine, like, I mean, Rob is probably a little bit bigger than me. I don't think he's super tall, but I think he's probably a little bigger than me. And then Nick is a really big guy. So, like, how on earth? I was amazed they were even able to stay on for as long as they did.
I know. It's true. Well, it's funny on paddleboarding, too. I don't know if you've ever seen people do, like, yoga on paddle boards and stuff. And so you've got to have incredible, like, core strength and balance. And yeah, but they're just a little bit too big to be on one board together, which makes it fun to watch.
Brooke, question. Mm-hmm. How many chicken nuggets can you eat in an hour?
Gosh. Yeah, definitely more than him. my son was like, who's 10 years old, was like, I can eat way more chicken nuggets than that.
What do you say?
How many do you say? I could at least eat 60, at least one a minute. I accept that challenge.
I could do 60 if it was Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets, and not if it was McDonald's McNuggets. I don't eat McDonald's. Not a McDonald's fan.
McDonald's is so good. I like Chick-fil-A too. Any fast food. I don't complain.
I like the coffee from McDonald's. I don't eat anything from McDonald's. Those cinnamon rolls are pretty good, but
oh yeah.
Yeah. So Chick-fil-A, their nuggets are very nuggety, for lack of a better word. So I'd probably do like 85 from Chick-fil-A.
That's funny. That's my kid's favorite is Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets for sure.
I don't know if I could do 45 chicken McNuggets. I think I'd get grossed out.
I could
probably
do
eat like 30.
Easy.
Well, you've been on Survivor. Did you guys do it?
Yeah.
You guys didn't do a gross food challenge on Survivor.
No, my season did not have a gross food challenge, for which I was very thankful. I mean, I was not in it long enough to even make it if they had a food challenge. I didn't have to deal with that. I mean, we ate ants, that our food got infested with ants. So we just ate it and whatever bugs were in it, it was fine.
So we mentioned this early in the episode. We didn't get too deep into it, but Amy does go to Rob. And I really don't know why she throws Aaron under the bus. Like, that would be a great question to ask Rob. Was Rob starting to already, like, distrust her, and maybe he already wanted her out because he was like, they're getting too close and I don't like that because I want Aaron and I need to go to the end? Or I would love to know about the mistrust between the two of them. I'm not entirely sure why she threw Aaron under the bus there.
You mean Alyssa threw Aaron?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You just said Amy. And so,
sorry.
Yeah, no. And that's, well, and it's almost like, I don't even know if I kind of felt like Alyssa wasn't even doing it that strategically. She more, like, sometimes you have these players, like in Survivor, will be like, create chaos and do that. And so I think she threw a lot out there just to stir the pot. I think that was kind of her strategy, is just stress everybody out, make everybody distrustful. And so that's kind of what I got the impression was. It wasn't like there was some laid out plan. It was more that she's just going to say that to kind of create distrust.
Yeah, maybe she's just trying to. Maybe she's trying to make a good moment for TV too.
Yeah, that's true. And then she had her voodoo doll comments again.
So. Yeah, that was odd. Uh-huh. What's in your notes, Brooke, from this episode?
Oh, man. I think we discussed most of them. The other thing that I thought was really funny when Joe made the comment when they went out to, when you're facing the banker and he made the comment about like, you know, hey, as long as our generators work, we got all the generators going out here. So it is, it's funny because you realize that like you're really out there in the wild and stuff. And I think, and they don't explicitly say where they're at, but I think I heard, is it Panama where they filmed Columbia? Do you know?
I think so. I'm not entirely sure. I actually feel like that's one of the things that they've tried to keep somewhat secret, which is interesting because I don't remember seeing that with a reality show. I feel like that's typically like, oh, in the jungles of Fiji, we've got this survivor adventure, or, you know, in the Scottish Highlands, we've got the traders. And I feel like they always kind of make that a part of the sales pitch. But for whatever reason, they want the Banker's Island to be like a secret location. Very and the banker's mysterious. Secret, too.
Yes. Although, didn't they have a teaser at the start of the season about revealing who the banker is?
I didn't see, I probably missed it, but there was one. Yeah.
I kind of feel like I did see that. And now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, we haven't seen it yet. That would be amazing if we get to find out who the banker is finally. So,
what's your theory? Who do you think it is?
Didn't someone say Donald Trump?
Yeah, Miranda.
I like Miranda's guess. I'll go with Donald Trump. He misses being on The Apprentice and he needs something to do in an election year to boost his boost voters. So yeah, Donald Trump's finance.
I'm thinking Howie is going to be the banker this time.
Oh. Not Elon Musk, maybe. He's got some extra Bitcoin.
Or Mark Cuban.
No, Howie Mandel's probably more realistic choice for this.
I feel like that's a great kind of reveal. You've got to have Howie involved in the show in some way. He's an executive producer. He was the host when this show was such a huge hit as a game show, Deal or No Deal. And he was a great host, too. Like, when we were on vacation a month ago, when I was in Florida before you got to Puerto Rico, we had some, like, Deal or No Deal channel, like a Pluto TV channel. And we had it on our TV and we just kept watching it, a lot of it. And this was even before started watching Deal or No Deal Island. It was before it dropped. And my sister, as we're watching it, she's like, he's a really good host. Like he really is.
Yeah. No, he was. I've seen some of those episodes back in the day and he was a good host. And it's funny, and I will not name names, but there's some reality shows that have gotten new hosts. And I was like, oh, it just falls flat. It feels very like robotic and not, you know, there's ones, I mean, Jeff Probst is an amazing, you know, one of the top ones. He's so great at reading people and asking the right questions and like facilitating really great discussions. And I think Joe's been great. Howie was good, but yeah, there, you know, when you have a bad one, painful.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. So, hey, what did you think of this in the excursion, the $5 million gold safe? Like, it was kind of odd. Like, you get $5 million for the pot, but you're guaranteed in the bottom two.
Yeah, it was. It's kind of one of those where I think they want to create this conflict of, is it better to get it? Or like, you know, I kind of think it's a example of like greed, you know, hey, we really want the 5 million, but it comes with this curse that you're going to be in, you know, the bottom, which it turns out it wasn't that bad of a thing to be in. So it was kind of a win-win situation to get it and things. But I think that's the dynamic they're trying to create there, is that, you know, if they give you something good, there's a catch with it.
Now, if Rob grabs that gold case, is he in the bottom two? Or is he the winner with the $5 million?
That's a good question. Who knows?
Predictions for next week?
I don't know. I think if Rob doesn't get immunity, might be his last episode. I don't know.
I think Rob is now going to... I think that the Night Owls have figured something out here that you want to be facing the banker. Mm-hmm. And I think Rob's next scheme is going to be something where it's going to be, I think, I actually, here's what, this is what's going to happen. I think Rob is going to win immunity, and he's going to tell Aaron that Aaron's got to face the banker. Because then he can have Aaron go in, and he thinks that he can get Aaron to take out whoever he wants if he wins. And then if Aaron loses, he doesn't actually have to risk it of himself facing the banker. And then if he doesn't win the immunity, he's going to want to face the banker. And he's like, we got to start taking out these targets because we can't give them the power to choose who goes home.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that could definitely happen. So it'll be interesting. I wonder if Aaron would take Rob all the way to the end, or if he'd try and knock him out before then, you know?
Yeah, I'd be really interested to see, because it was only a couple weeks ago that Aaron was like the most trusted person, which means he's got to have good social relationships with a lot of people. Now,
yeah,
burn the bridge with Stephanie. I don't think there's any coming back from that one.
Yeah.
I don't really know where he stands with these other people, but if there's a way that he could kind of like, if he hasn't lost those relationships with people, that would probably be the best move, because then he's no longer Rob's boy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't get Rob out, you want to get the guy out that is working with Rob.
Yeah, exactly. And it may be a thing to get him in good with the Night Owls is, I'll take Rob out to show that, like, you should keep me around. So
yeah, that would be a good move. All right. Well, Brooke, is there anything else?
Nope, just that was great TV, and I can't wait to watch next week.
She's Brooke Strzok. I'm Jack Vita. We'll be back later this week for more Deal or No Deal Island coverage. If you guys missed my interview with Alyssa, go and check it out. And then Deal or No Deal Insiders, Miranda and Stephanie. Got a feeling it might be a little spicy. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the Jack Vita Show here on our YouTube channel so that you don't miss out. Until next time, I'm Jack Vita. Bring in the dancing lobsters.